had a few padded metal chairs, a freestanding ashtray, and a low coffee table cluttered with tattered pre-dark magazines. Ryan entered through the swinging glass door and chose a seat where he could get the best view of anyone entering or exiting. A massive wooden desk was near the door, and Ryan imagined that Morgan did business behind that door. Sitting at the desk and frowning at Ryan was another sec guard, with a furrowed brow and a 3-day growth of beard. Ryan estimated that the guard topped the scales at over 300 pounds of muscle. He also seemed to serve as part-time secretary.
Carter, I'm here to see Morgan.
I know.
The guard frowned at an obnoxiously yellow box on the edge of the desk. He reached out and punched a button before picking up an attached phone receiver. He listened for a moment while he eyed Ryan suspiciously.
Yeah, he's here. He's packing a blaster. A big one.
The man winced and held the receiver slightly away from his head.
So am I, Genj. Everyone in Freedom is armed. Part of the welcome to our neighborhood, please shop with us again, thank you, you're welcome, bye-bye kind of charm. Now, do what I said and send the man right in.
Well, yes, sir.
The sec man, whose name was apparently Genj, hung up the phone and stood, gesturing toward a door near Ryan's seat.
Mr. Morgan is expecting you, sir.
So I heard.
Ryan passed him and stepped into the open doorway. His eye taking in the layout of the colossal yet Spartan office, he heard the door close behind him. A single desk of immense size, similar to the one in the waiting area, was in the middle of the room, flanked by two plush black leather chairs and a matching sofa. A single computer and monitor stood on a smaller table beside the desk, along with a phone intercom, both within easy reach if seated. The walls were all drab, painted in neutral tones of soft amber. The rear wall behind the desk was the only exception. It was home to a massive bank of vid screens and security viewing recording devices. Half of the screens were lit, showing various parts of the interior of Freedom Mall flickering dimly in grainy black and white. There was also a shot or two of the mall exterior, but these images were even harder to make out. The man seated on the edge of the desk was in his mid-40s, with dark brown hair graying at the temples and a matching brown beard that was starting to gray in sympathy. The beard tapered down to a point. His hair was too long for the collared shirt he wore, and as a result gave him the air of a man in bad need of a haircut. He was average height, average weight, and the color brown had been visited upon him a third time with his eyes, but their nondescript appearance was offset by the vibrancy shining through them as he looked Ryan over. The man oozed vitality and intelligence, but not in the usual arrogant way of many smart men who strove to assure their domination over their own pocket kingdoms and deathlands. In addition to the white long-sleeved shirt, which was immaculate, appearing to be either new or pressed, the man wore long black trousers and high black boots. A small golden cross could be spotted hanging on a chain from around his neck, flickering now and then as he moved, the metal catching the soft lighting within the office. He also wore an expensive wrist chron, an old-style one without a digital readout or liquid crystal, a simple wristwatch with an hour and minute hand, and tiny inset window for the date.
Are you Freedom's Baron, Morgan?
The man turned to the left, to the right, and then glanced behind himself, and then shrugged at Ryan.
I must be, or else I'm loitering in his office again. No, not hardly. Freedom has no baron or boss or lord. I'm merely the administrator.
Ah, is that what barons are calling themselves now? I've met all kinds. Admirals, princes, bosses, and commanders. All the same, barons. Still, you might be telling the truth. You're not overweight enough to be the genuine article. You don't have any toadies or sluts kissing your ass and falling over your feet.
I like my privacy, and I've never claimed the title of Baron in my life. The name is Beck Morgan. I never got into calling people by their last names.
Morgan stuck out a hand to shake. Ryan looked at the offered hand as if it was covered in pus. So Morgan slid the offered hand back.
No manners where you come from, Outlander?
Ryan felt his face flush. A scar running down his left cheek from the injury that had taken his eye darkened.
Oh, I've got manners, Morgan. But if I took your hand right now, I'm afraid I might try to rip your damn arm off and beat you to death with it.
Like you did to the sec droid in the pit. I watched the battle from here. Very impressive and clever. You fought with courage and wit.
And fear. Nobody bothered telling me going in I was supposed to be fighting hand-to-hand with a sec droid.
You dealt with the unexpected quite well, Ryan. I hear you're good at that. A talent for survival. most useful ability.
Look, Morgan, you can save yourself some time and cut the diplomatic smile, the first name calling, the compliments on my fighting abilities, and the firm, dry handshake. Do us both a favor and spare me the lecture. I don't plan on being here long enough to get on a first-name basis with you. I'm here for one reason. I want my son.
It's not that simple. Certain parties have been injured. Certain parties demand justice.
Don't they always? My guess is, the way things work in Deathlands, we're looking at Dean's word and Jack's against the man they chilled. Dead men can't talk.
Not a man, a boy. And there are living, breathing witnesses. Well, a witness anyway. No question your son and friend were minding their own business. And once they were provoked, they brought out the scythe and started mowing down the opposition. Are all your people as deadly as those two and yourself, Ryan?
I hope for your future here as boss man of freedom. You never have to find out. And don't call me Ryan.
What should I call you?
I don't give a damn. I'll say it again. I want my son.
Fair enough. We're not unfair here in freedom. You'll have him. Soon as you make restitution to the arcade owners and pay his fines, along with the albinos.
How much?
The fines? Hell, not much. I'll go ahead and waive them to show my good intentions. Consider them paid.
What about the damages?
Well, nothing I can do to help you there, I'm afraid.
Morgan pulled a stack of whisper-thin sheets out of a wire mesh basket on his desk and flipped through them. Finding the one he wanted, he put down the rest and handed over the single damning piece of paper to Ryan, who gaped at the list of figures and the combined total at the bottom. Fireblast. That's a lot of jack.
Some of those vid machines are damn near irreplaceable, Carter. Any good comp equipment is usually salvaged for something of more value than mere entertainment. And to find full units in working order takes time, lots of money. Lucky for your boy, the arcade owner is a forgiving sort once he feels that proper justice has been meted out.
All about greasing the palms, isn't it?
Perhaps. To be honest, I like to quote a phrase from an old pre-dark song called Hotel California.
I've been there. Hotter than hell. Unless you're wanting to build sandcastles out of radioactive dirt, I can't advise the trip. Besides, I thought this was the Carolinas.
The theme still applies. Besides, if you'd been there, I'm sure you know most of California fell into the ocean when the bombs hit. Now, the song sort of goes, a person can check in, but he can never check out. During my tenure here as operations manager for the Freedom
Hall... Thought you said you were the administrator.
Like you told me earlier, titles, words, barons, kings means the same thing. But during my stay here, I've seen what I've just said come into play hundreds of times. I look at it as providing employment. Running a compound this size takes people, Carter.
I want my boy and my friend.
And I want to be hung with a cock the size of my forearm. But it ain't gonna happen. This isn't some little ville on the edge of nowhere, my one-eyed friend. Nor is it a place where you can come swaggering in and do whatever the hell you please.
Is that a fact?
The fact is this, like it or not. Freedom is a civilized patch that has been carved out of the southeastern hell zone. We've got all the tenants we can handle and a waiting list of thousands who'd like to live here on a regular basis instead of just passing through from one pest hole to the next. Those with the jack give up on permanent residence and just visit here for extended stretches. Any way you want to debate it, people want to stay here and visit the mall because they can't find what we have to offer anywhere else on the remains of the North American continent.
What? High prices, overcrowding, sec men with fancy green jackets and a bunker mentality? Or that snazzy pit with a broken-down droid for staging your own gladiator bouts for the unwashed masses? Pretty sad.
No. What we offer to them besides access to food, clothing, and shelter is safety.
That's debatable. What about those stickies on the outside trying to get in that I keep hearing about?
Yes, well, no location is perfect. Which is where you come in.
I was told the muties want to come in and spend some jack and have a hot meal, along with the rest of us. Seems to me you're missing out on the almighty sticky dollar. Piss poor thinking for a businessman like yourself.
Well, believe me, Carter, if those dumb bastards had the brains to understand the concept of legal tender, they'd be more than welcome to come in and spend. Unfortunately, stickies are about as bright as a bag of dirt. The only thing on their mind is burning and killing. Well, not necessarily in that order.
Well, thanks for the chat. I guess I've got some selling to do. See if I can come up with a jack to bust Dean and Jack out of your jail.
There is another way.
Okay, here it comes.
Work for me. Your entire group. Work off the debt. The mall will make good with the vid game owner, and in exchange, you join my sex squad for 30 days. You've got a rep. I see how you earned it.
No.
Best offer you're gonna get tonight, Carter. And if you have any ideas about trying to take your son and friend out of the wings by force, you're sadly mistaken. Even if you could get to the cells, there are booby traps designed to kill you if you try opening doors without proper authorization.
If you're so damn strong and all-powerful, why do you need me?
Ryan glowered at the man behind the desk, growing fed up with all of the blunt goodwill. He was beginning to wish for the more traditional Baron, who smirked, pranced, and bragged a blue streak. At least those types were men that Ryan could take their measure and figure out where he stood.
Ease up. I'm getting to that. Let me give you some background first. See, your timing is most fortuitous. There's death in the air of freedom. Bad enough keeping the peace from within, but now the stickies are becoming stirred up. A group like yours enters, and we take notice. I quizzed that Adrian Scavvy that came in with you, and he told me a few things. If your son hadn't fucked up in the vid arcade, I'd have been coming to you with an offer anyway. Now I can make the offer, and it's one you can't refuse.
I don't like being pushed.
Who does?
Why me?
I know you're not exactly a teenager. A man lives to be your age, he's got something on the ball. That's why I'm willing to make this deal. Frankly, I need your help. Good sec men are impossible to find, much less keep. They tend to have this annoying habit following the money. I pay a decent wage, but once some dumbass Baron gets his panties in a wad, off they go to fight yet another private little war.
I'm not a sec man.
Now you are. Better still, you're an intelligent sec man. Freedom exchanges information with other Vils, other Barons. Your face and name aren't unknown in this region. Amusingly enough, since you've never left any of your past adversaries alive, there has been no bounty placed on your head.
I'm not laughing.
Well, I found it amusing.
You seem to know a lot about me.
I know a lot about anyone who comes into freedom. At least I try to.
You can't know everything. You can't know what I'm thinking about right now.
I could hazard a guess. What's with you, Carter?
What do you mean?
I mean, you look and act the role of a gunslinger, but your vocabulary and carriage suggest the brains of an educated man.
Doc Tanner's the one for book learning, not me.
That preening fool? No, you're smarter than you let on, Carter. Otherwise, you wouldn't have survived Deathlands as long as you have.
What do you know about survival? You hide in this back office, away from the mall floors, away from the outside. When's the last time you felt real sunlight, Morgan?
Been a few months. But haven't you heard? It's dangerous outside. Skin cancer. Rad sickness. Who needs it? Not me. That's why people come to freedom. To shop, to live, to deal. We're a stronghold, Carter, with a movie palace, places to eat, things to buy, places to stay. Safe, wholesome entertainment. Minus a few gambling dens, bars, and the after-hours gaudies.
Yeah, men gotta have their drinks, cards, and sluts.
Damn straight. All any man could want is in here.
Even as big as this place is, you can only stay back here for so long. Outside world will come in soon enough and stomp you flat.
A year ago, I would have told you that was nonsense, Carter. I'm not so sure. I don't have a problem with outside. I just don't want to deal with it. Why do you think malls were built in the first place back in the pre-dark days of consumerism?
I don't know. Greed, I guess.
Wrong. Protection. Downtown areas were getting too dangerous. Muggings, rapes, theft. People were afraid to go out on city streets to buy their needed goods. Mail order was fine for some items, sure, but man needs to go out on his own, do his own hunting and gathering, and malls such as Freedom were built in response to his needs, or her needs. Malls were traditionally a female haven. Sexist, I admit, but I'm just repeating what I've read.
What about this bank of vid screens? Looks like you have eyes everywhere.
Once upon a time, we did.
Morgan stood up and walked over to the wall. He hit a few control keys, switching the screen images, as well as the angles they were showing.
I'm being honest with you here, Carter. Very few people know the extent of how freedom has backslid in recent months. Only the key people in my sex squad are aware of this, but all of these screens used to be fully functional.
What happened?
Most of the exterior cameras are down, and some of the interior ones are shoddy and in need of replacing or repair. We were using thermal cameras for the outside perimeter. Hell, we even had a miniature long-range TV op system on the roof with all the trimmings. Laser rangefinder, tilt pedestal, and night vision.
Had?
Yes, had. All of them gave us good visibility in all ambient light conditions, day, night, smoke, or haze. Now we're lucky to even have the two regular cameras up and functioning. Freedom's starting to fall apart at the seams. We have investors, money men from up north, looking to do something to alleviate their boredom. This seemed like a solid plan. Renewal of the past, protection for the future.
Sorry, but it still sounds to me like...